Okay, so yesterday we noted that conceptually speaking, in order to figure out whether Shemitah nowadays is alright, Darabanan something else, so we need to ask two different types of questions, right, Josh?
Yeah.
What are they? What types of questions do we ask? What types of questions? Right? Right. Universal questions that would make Shemitah, along with other Mitzvot Tzuvahs, not obligatory, whatever that might be, probably something to do with Kedushat Haaretz, right? If we argue that Kedushat Haaretz is lacking, so then Shemitah presumably would not be obligatory Midyaraita, right? And the second layer is specific, right? Is Shemitah specific possibilities, right? And we noted that this seems to be, how you doing? This seems to be the explicit framing of the Yerushalmi in the 10th paragraph. I know that some of you actually opened it up and looked at it inside, and as I mentioned, at least in the Ozvah there, it's about a amud and a half, almost two, almost a whole daf. This seems to be the, broadly speaking, the framing of the Gemara in Shvi'it, right? Because the first possibility that the Gemara raises as to why, or the question upon which the status of Shemitah hangs is the obligation of Masros. Meaning, Shemitah is part of a larger framework of Mitzvot Tzluy D'Baharetz, which again, the simplest way of understanding that is that it's about Kedushat Haaretz, right? And therefore, right, if there's no Kedushat Haaretz biblically nowadays, so then none of the Mitzvot are obligatory. And on the other hand, the second answer is, no, even if Maaser applies, Shemitah might still not, because, again, simplest understanding, though, as we'll have to get back into details, but the simplest understanding is that for some reason Shemitah Ksafim is linked to Shemitah Karka, and Shemitah Karka is linked to Yovel. And Yovel has certain requirements, which we're going to talk about of Kol Yishva Aleha, Biat Kulchem, the difference between those two factors, and therefore maybe Shemitah uniquely, and again, as we'll see, when it comes to the Rambam Shita, the Rambam may distinguish between Shemitah Ksafim and Shemitah Karka, so they don't necessarily go together. Right, so right now it's in broad strokes. Don't think that I'm unaware of that possible distinction in the Rambam. Yeah.
Couldn't Kibush be describing both Kodesh
Shalah
and also talking about
Kibush? Yes. Right. It could be. And as we'll see, that's going to be part of the question. We're going to see what it describes. Right. The exact understanding of that is the Yush Machloket. Again, these are broadly speaking, we got to sort of. Yes, exactly, right? Meaning, right, Biyat Kulchem, right, does seem to be a function of Kibush and might be a Kudush Aret. Kol Yishva Aleha seems to be post-Kibush, right? Right. That Reb Chaim makes exactly that distinction, distinguishing between those two, one of which is about Kudush Aret and one is not. Very good. So, Kobe, you're thinking exactly as Reb Chaim in the 12th parak of Shvi'it, which we will get to, but yes, right, you can distinguish between those and say that some of these factors are about Kudush Aret and some of them are not. Might be the difference between Biat Kulchem, right, which is about the original sanctification, rather than Kol Yishva Aleha, which sounds like a continuing presence. That's going to be exactly what Reb Chaim is going to do. But that was the overarching framing, right? Again, we have to, as Kobe correctly knows, we have to zero in on these details. And what we're going to do, by the way, tomorrow and Thursday, I'm giving Shirkoli. Okay, so what we're going to do is going to be a little bit, oh, thank you. So it's going to be a little bit standalone. What we're going to do is we're going to zero in on the issue of Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia, specifically the Rambam Shita, right? Meaning, it's, right, what I said we sort of glossed over here, because right now we're focusing on the Shemitah aspect, right? We're going to, because the Kedusha Aretz issue can be dealt with slightly separately, right, that's what we're going to do with as a standalone, right? And then we'll come back to our sugya when we join. I'm getting to the whole yeshiva. Yeah. Specifically, Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia. I mean, there are many angles, but specifically, the difference between why Kedusha Rishon is not Kadosh and Kedusha Shnia is Kadosh, mostly within Shita Rambam. That's what we're going to do, right? So, and yes, yeah, some of them touch on Kedusha Shlishi, or it's not necessary, right? A third Kedusha is not because we already have right Kedusha Shnia, right? Okay. Yes, that's exactly what that would be. That's exactly what that would be. Then we noted, okay, fine. So let's So focusing on the question of Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia gets a little bit complicated, because in the Gemara in Shavuot, the simple implication is that everybody agrees that Kedusha Shnia is Kayam. The only question is Kedusha Rishona, which again, for the moment, we are assuming that Kedusha Rishona is Kedusha Yehoshua, Kedusha Shnia is Kedusha Ezra, right? And as I noted, and we'll see it inside tomorrow, Rabbeinu Hananel's position, that's not what it is, but we'll hold that. But at least the Gemara in Shavuot assumes that everyone agrees that Kedusha Shnia, right, the Kedusha of Ezra, for argument's sake for now, is Kayam. And therefore, Kedusha Aret is Kayam. However, the Gemara, definitely the Rishonim Shvi'it was definitely not clear on this point. And as we saw, the Gemara in Gittin is not clear on this point. The Gemara in Yevamot seems to think that it's a machloket. Right? The Gemara in Yevamot thinks that, and we'll come back to this again tomorrow, but that it's a machloket or Biyosi and the Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan seem to paskin that it is not Kadosh. Right? And Biyosi says it is. Okay. Which is the opposite of how it's presented in the Yerushalmi, correct. Okay. Let's turn back to the Gemara in Gittin. Now, this Gemara in Gittin appears in very similar form in the Gemara in Moed Katan, right? Remember we did the Sugya in Moed Katan, the beginning of Moed Katan?
Yeah.
Right, so a little bit before that Sugya, the Gemara deals with this, right? The Gemara in Gittin and Moed Katan are very similar. So we'll look at the Gemara in Gittin for now, but it's also in Daf Bet, a version of it in Moed Katan. But since we're already talking about Prosbo, let's focus. This is the focus here of the Gemara in Gittin. So the Gemara says, "Umi ika midi dmi daraita mishamta shvit vihitkin hilel delo mishamta." So again, the Gemara says, "Is there anything which is Shemitah? Is there any case in which Shemitah is biblically obligatory and therefore will wipe away the loans?" And yet Hillel could go against the Doraita. So what does the Gemara say? Amar Abaye, Bishvi'it, Bizman Hazeh, Birebi. It's talking about Shemitah nowadays, according to Rebbe. Tanya, Rebbe Omar, Zeh Dvar HaShemitah Shmot, V'shtei Shemitot HaKatuv Medaber, Achat Shemitah Karka, V'achat Shemitah Ksafim. בזמן שאתה משמד קרקע, אתה משמד כספים. בזמן שאתה משמד קרקע, אתה משמד כספים. So the Gemara says, this is according to Rebbe, who holds that nowadays, Shemitah is, right, is not obligatory, okay? Now, turn to, okay, I don't know why they did it exactly this way. Turn to Beit Zion. So turn to the Zion for a second. Turn to Zion, okay? Because there they put more of the Gemara. I don't know why they didn't put it all at one place, but fine. Right? Got it? Yep. Right? So the Gemara says, V'tikinu Rabbanan, right, on Lamed Vav and Bet, continuing on Lamed Vav and Bet, right, the bottom of the page, V'tishameit Zecher Leshvit. Right? So when you have Shemitah Karka, you have Shemitah Ksafim, and when you don't, so then Shemitah Ksafim is not D'oraita. It's D'rabbanan, it's a Zecher. And therefore, Ra'ah Hillel Shenimnu Ha'am Milalvot Zetze. Hillel saw that the people were stopping to lend money. V'itkin Prusbol, so he instituted a Prusbol so people would lend money. So now Kobi asks, and he says, well, why wouldn't what? Why doesn't, right, we compare Shemitah Ksafim to Shemitah Karaka, and Shemitah Karaka doesn't apply nowadays. Why not? Right, does the Gemara say? No, the Gemara doesn't say. And as we already know, what are the two possibilities? Right, either because Kedusha Aretz is lacking, which is how, who understands this sugya? Who understands this sugya? Who? Well, the Gemara doesn't tell you. Who? We saw someone yesterday, the Halacha, who understands the Sugya this way. Look at Rashi. Right? Again, we looked at it yesterday, but it's here on page 7 again. Look. Three lines in the bottom, Lamed Vav and Aleph. V'zman she'yeta mishamet karka kagon achshav shabatla kedushat ha'aretz. Right? Rashi paskins, seems to paskin that the machloket in this sugya is what? Is about whether there's kedushat ha'aretz. The gzirat ha'katuv links the monetary side of Shemitah to the agricultural side of Shemitah. But the reason that the agricultural side doesn't apply is because of the universal principle, meaning the first half of the Yerushalmi, namely that we're lacking Kedushat Ha'aretz, right? But what's the problem with Rashi? Right, what's obviously the problem with Rashi?
That's not the reason.
The Gemara doesn't say, right? It doesn't say that that's the reason, and furthermore,
is a different reason why the
right, meaning it means, well, the Gemara says the reason Prusbel works is because Shemitah, right, in order for Prusbel to work, Shemitah Ksachim needs to be Darabana, according to this day in the Gemara, right?
And
right? And the Gemara says, why is Shemitah Ksachim Darabana? Because it's linked to Shemitah Karka, and Shemitah Karka doesn't apply biblically nowadays. But what does the Gemara not say explicitly? Why? Right, so Rashi reads into the Sugya that it's because of Kedusha Aretz, it's because of the universal principle. Because the Torah says, "Don't when Shemitah is coming, don't stop lending money, right? So therefore, he said it's worse for people, right? Again, we're going to come back and do Prusbel later, but basics are, the Torah says, don't refrain from lending money because Shemitah is coming. And Hillel said, oh, but people are doing it, so what should I do? Make a Prusbel to allow people to collect their loans. But the Gemara at this stage assumes you can only do that if Shemitah is Derabanan. Gemara says, why is it Derabanan? Because Shemitah Ksafim is compared to Shemitah Karka. So if Shemitah Karka is not biblical, then neither is Shemitah Ksafim. So Gemara says, why is Shemitah Karka Doraita, not Doraita? Does Gemara answer? Again, no. So Rashi comes in, swoops in, and says the reason is... What? Rashi, look, right? Three lines from the bottom, Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph. Right? Right, if you looked at the... Remember, here. They copied for you twice. On the first one, they underlined it for you, but they didn't at the last one. See, look. See, on page 7, they underlined the key line.
Okay.
Right? But on page 7 here, they didn't. Right? But now if you're looking at the Fuller Gemara, right, Rashi says, three lines on the bottom, Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, Bizman She'yeta Meshamed Karka, Kagon Achshav Shebatla Kedushat Ha'aretz. Right? So let's draw this out, okay? Let's forget everything we've seen in the Yerushalmi for now. I saved the marker here yesterday. Wait, right?
Do we have a tissue or Masha?
So that we don't just have this is Simon Pinter on the board. Not helpful. Fine, let's trace the Gemara things again. It's very simple to understand in Moed Katan, but let's trace, okay? So, the Gemara's assumption is, right, stage one is, right, Prusbel only works if...
It's Jerubana.
If what?
Shemitah
Safin is not Doraita. Right? Right, which leads to step two, which is or if you want to really formalize this, is there again for done formal symbolizing with you yet?
No.
Well, in formal logic, it would go like this, right? Right, if P and Q, right, like this, right, pretty clear, fine. So we'll do. I'll symbolize it in a second, okay?
So
why is Shemitah Safim not Doraita? Because
Shemitah
Safim
is linked to Shemitah Karka.
Right? Exactly. Is to Shemitah Karka. Right? Or other way around. Right? Fine. Karka to Safim. Right? So basically, right? If
right? Informal logic, right? If, hey, if protocol, then, right? Right? Then not Vajra. Fine?
That's negation side.
Right? If it, right, then.
Then, cargo.
If
then cargo
wouldn't. Right? If. Right? Second is, if not the Araita for Karka, right? Then not the Araita for, right? Dvartara for Sabit, right?
Right? So now, but the Gemara doesn't explain at this point.
Why?
What? Right? So Rashi on this assumption, right? Says,
right, Rashi,
no.
Right, no, Yusha, Tara, okay, hold this off,
fine,
yeah, so then the Gemara says, wait a second, Umi ikamidi dudmido right alum shamta shvid with a kinabandi shamait. Do the rabbis really institute Shemitah when the Torah does not? How do you do that? Right? Why? Right? Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Right? We have another problem, which is if Shemitah stuff is the Rabbanan, then how do the rabbis take away the money? Because that means then by right, who owns this money? Right? Mordechai lends me money. Right? It now comes the end of Shemitah. I don't have to pay back. The rabbis let Mordechai write a post bull, so now I have to give him back the money. So by right, who does the money belong to? Me. Right? And the rabbis now are telling me to give it back to Mordechai because he has a post bull, now he's allowed to collect it. Right? Again, we're going to come to this more in depth when we get to Prozbul, right? Shemitah is at the end. Shemitah Ksafim is at the end.
Oh,
that's where we pass it. The end of Shemitah. That's why I'm saying end of Shemitah. Right? What's the problem? So Gemara says, how can they take money from me and give it to Mordechai? Right? Right? The end of Shemitah passed. I shouldn't have to pay him back. Sorry, Mordechai. Right? But he signed a Prozbul, so sorry me. Right? Now I have to pay him back. The Gemara says, how can you do that? So what does the Gemara answer? Rav Amar.
Is this in
Hamas? Sorry, what?
Where is this?
This is the continuation of Gemara and Gittin. Say, Amar Abaye. What does Abaye say? Shave v'al ta'azeh. Who? It's passive. Therefore what? Meaning what? What's passive? In one sense, is it passive?
What's the fact that Prozbul doesn't have X?
Right, so he says...
It's not
so in general, right? So
it's your money.
Right. So Rashi says is, look, the principle at play is as follows. What the rabbis are doing here is uprooting the Torah, what we call Akirat Davar Minat Torah. Okay? Akirat Davar Minat Torah. Okay? The simplest understanding of the Gemara in Yevamot is that the halacha of Yevamot, that the rabbis can do this if it's passive. Okay? What we call shave the al-tahzeh, right? And not for active, right? They can't tell you to violate the Torah, which is kum va'ateh.
Wait,
okay?
So
no, it's not removing a mitzvah, but it's temporarily telling you to do something. Right?
So
they're allowed to tell you, for example, right? Again, Gemara Yevamot is also complicated. I'm oversimplifying, right? But for example, right, on Rosh Hashanah, when it's Shabbat, the rabbis say, don't blow the shofar, right? Don't do. Right? Shay, Balta said, don't do it. Right?
Well, they gave, and that, so you're also, they gave just like a like very basic reason.
No, but this is what, no, Gemara there says, the reason is this, Shay, Balta said, they're allowed to do it.
They're allowed to, because they're afraid, they're approaching.
Correct, but even then, the simple case Gemara doesn't pass it.
They're afraid of something, so they're making them as passive.
Exactly, right? But they can't do active, right? They can't say, okay? Fine. So Abaye says the reason the rabbis are allowed to uproot the Torah here and tell you is why is Sheva Al Tasa. Now, in what way is this Sheva Al Tasa? So Rashi clarifies Halove Hazeh Shevu Batel VeEno Sam Mitzvah LeKroes Kovo Lo Akar LeBi Adayim VeChi Aygavna Mutar Akor Davar Menatara. Right. So this is a little bit of a weird passive, because he's saying the passive is on the loveh. The loveh has an active mitzvah to pay back his loan.
Right.
And he's not doing it. There's a little bit of a weird passivity. Yeah. I don't want to... I understand. When we do pros bowling...
Money,
correct. Correct, right? The simplest way would have been the opposite, which is that... And this is why I'm holding it off so we can do pros bowl, right? Let me give you another way of understanding it, which is, it could be that Shemitah only works if Mordechai actively forgives the loan. Right? So it could be what the rabbis are saying is you don't have to. Right? You don't have to do Mekayim the Mitzvah for giving a loan. Memela, I have to pay you back. Right? But this depends on whether we hold what's called, and we'll see this when we get to the sugya, whether Shemitah Kesafim works with what's called Afkasa de Malka. Right? Meaning the king got rid of the loan. Meaning God gets rid of the loan. Or Afkasa de Gavra. That you get rid of it, that you have a mitzvah, that Mordechai has a mitzvah to get rid of a loan. And no, 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 on the individual. Meaning Mordechai has a mitzvah to not make me pay back the loan, but if he doesn't choose to do that, then the normal obligation of me to pay back would be in effect, right? So how exactly do we understand this line?
Yeah,
is gonna
kind of,
how?
Because if you go according to the other one, then why would you eat it?
Right, right. So that's why we, like I said, we're gonna come back to the sugya. This is the problem. There's a lot of sugyas overlap.
So what do Mordechai actually have to do? Like, do we
even say? He'd have to declare, I forgive all loans. I waive all loans.
Or maybe I'm going to say that.
So, no, that's what the active thing would be. I have to, he has to forgive the loan. He has to waive the loan.
No, he's going to borrow
money. No, I borrowed money from him. We can flip it. I'm happy to flip it. But at this point, I'm making him the rich gvir that I'm borrowing money from.
So, he
what?
I hate being rich for getting loans.
Fine. You want to borrow money from me? Here. Okay.
Wait, who are they saying the actors?
Make it easier. Ooh. I only have American cash. Here's traveling. Here. Mordechai's borrowing from me.
Okay? Wait.
Fine. Mordechai borrowed the money from me. Now, right, it could be that my mitzvah in Shemitah is to say, Mordechai, you don't have to pay it back. But if the rabbis say, Sheva Al Tasa, I don't have to say that. And the
mitzvah,
yeah, give it back. Right? So that's a way of understanding it. Rashi doesn't understand it. There's reasons for that, but we haven't gotten into it. I should have just given you, what do I have here? Pounds? Pounds.
I'll take anything. Pounds are better than dollars. Right? But maybe not.
Anything is better than... I should give you shekel. Like, shekel are super strong.
According to that, it wouldn't have a... Yeah.
25-year high, right? 25,
it wouldn't need a...
My dollars are worth it.
Never need a first goal, according to that.
I distribute risk. I keep money in multiple countries.
It's not just that. You gotta look at where the countries are
from. Well, it's not really by design. It's like, I'm American, so I have American money, and I lived in Canada for a while, so
yeah.
I have Canadian whatevers, and I live in Israel.
What? Loonies
and Toonies.
Is that what they're
called? Yeah, $1 and $2. Loonies and Toonies.
Yeah, and you thought I was joking?
Oh my God.
Yeah, Loonies and Toonies.
Come on, you gotta be
like cosmopolitan, a man of the world, and know the very sophisticated sounding loonies and toonies. Fine. So however we understand the Gemara. What? So, it, no, the rabbis should say what we're really doing is this is the mechanism we use, but what's really happening is we're not telling you to waive the law. Right? Obviously, Rashi doesn't understand it this way.
So you're writing a document to say I'm not...
Yeah, I understand. Like I said, we'll come back to it because we're going to do principle in depth. Okay? But right now I'm trying... This is the problem. It's the problem with the principle sugya. The problem with the Daraita and the Rabbanan is it appears in a million sugya, right? Which are themselves complicated. Right? Okay. But... What do we have here? So, the Gemara says, according to Abaye, the solution to the problem is, how is it that Mordechai, I don't have to wait, now we flipped it. How is it that Mordechai, that I can write a prosbul and keep the money, right? So, I can write a prosbul and get the money back. If Shemitah doesn't apply me de oraita, then I have the right to the money, right? If Shemitah applies me the right to Mordechai, I have the right to the money, right? So by saying, well, Shemitah doesn't apply, which means I have the right, which means that... Okay. Now I've just flipped everything because of everything, so I have to do this, right? So the Gemara says, me the right to lo mishamta, right? Me the right to the money is mine. And now rabbis come along and say, unless I write a prosbul, it's Mordechai's. If I write a prosbul, I can get it back. But without that, they've instituted Shemitah Midrabbanan, which means Mordechai gets to keep the money. Right? So again. Right. The problem is, how do we do this? Because, and we'll go to the town now.
Okay? Here. Right?
So now, right, if it's just, right, so now the end of Shemitah is coming, which means that if Shemitah is Daraita, then who gets to keep the 5 pounds?
Me.
Mordechai. If Shemitah doesn't apply, who gets to keep it? Who gets it back? Me. Right? If Shemitah, then the rabbis come and institute Shemitah Darabana, which means that if I don't do anything, who gets to keep the money? Mordechai. And then if I write a prosbul, then I get it back, which is what I own by right. Right? Is that confusing enough? Right?
It's weird. It happens through an action.
Meaning, to put it differently, the rabbis require me to write a prosbul to get back that which by biblical right is already mine.
Okay.
Right? Right? Meaning by right, it's my money. Because Shemitah doesn't apply. And the rabbis come along and say, if I don't write a prosbul, then Mordechai gets to keep it. How do they have the power to do that? Why do I need a prosbul? Because what's the Gemara really saying? By saying you need a prosbul when Shemitah is there abundant, what are they really saying? If it weren't for the prosbul, Mordechai would be allowed to keep the money that by rights should come back to me without any document, without me doing anything. Simply because Mordechai owes me money. Right? Correct?
Right.
So Abaye says it's okay. The rabbis are allowed to say that without my prosbul, Mordechai can keep the money. Why? Shave the Alta Asa Adas. Because what are they basically doing? I'll tell you the way Rashi does. Forget it. This is how Rashi understands this thing. That basically, it's a little bit, right? It's not that I have the money in my pocket. Why is this considered passive according to Rashi? Because right now, who holds onto the money? Look, Mordechai has it. See? Right? Shemitah doesn't apply. Right? Which means that he should give it back to me. However, why should he give it back to me?
Because it's not.
Priyat
Balho Mitzvah.
Paying back a loan is a mitzvah.
A mitzvah.
Yes, Priyat Balho Mitzvah. Right? What do the rabbis do? In what way is it passive? They exempt Mordechai from his obligation to pay me back.
So that's already...
Which means that the money stays not where it is by right, but where it is physically. Right? Because now they've wiped away the mitzvah. There's no Priya Balpo. Right? Right? And if I write a prosbul, then what happens? They allow Priya Balpo
to come back.
Right? Exactly. And therefore, right, Abaye says, fundamentally, what they're doing is passive.
So the nature of what you're doing is passive, even if you're active.
Therefore, the reason the rabbis are allowed to basically create their abundance to that coven is because what they're really doing is passively exempting Mordechai from his obligation to pay me back the money, right? And if I write a prosbul, then the obligation that fundamentally already devolved on Mordechai, which is to pay me back, comes back in full force, and now...
Right, I say, Ellie, Josh, Kobe, you are my Dayanim, I give over my loans to you, and now you say...
Thank you. I got my money back. Sorry. Now you'll have to change money at the airport when you go to London. Fine? You don't have it. Yalla? It is, yeah, currency is very interesting.
But personally, I still like it.
It's definitely, like, European money and pretty much non-American money is much more colorful. Right? You have Canadian money on you? You can show them.
It's very,
you know?
It's more colorful, but I think that the art on the U.S. money is much more interesting. No, you haven't seen your Canadian art,
Canadian money. I think I like the British money better than Canadian money. Australia is because...
Yeah, it doesn't care.
Someone looked at my yeshiva and poked out the middle.
Wow. Right?
A junior.
Fine. So, coming back to the sugya, right? According to Abaye, okay, so what assumptions is Abaye working on? So Abaye assumes what? Again, first of all, only work for Shemitah Tzavim is not Daraita, right? Shemitah Tzavim depends on Karka. Nowadays, Karka doesn't, Shemitah Karka doesn't apply, or we don't know why, right? And then, Abaye has a different problem, which is, how can they, when Shemitah doesn't apply, how can they let Mordechai keep my money? And what's the answer? They're passively letting him keep the money by exempting him from paying me back. Right? Okay? So again, we're going to have to come back to this in principle, so don't worry about it. But for our purposes, Abaye's assumption remains that what? If principle works, right, this assumption Abaye still holds up for our purposes, right? Which is that if Rosbol exists, that means Shemitah Tzavim is not Doraita. Right? Yes? We all agree that this is the assumption that Abaye still holds by. Right? And that everything that he says after that is coming to justify this assumption. Right? And therefore, according to Abaye, Limaskana is Shemitah Tzavim Doraita? Shemitah Tzavim? No. Right? It seems to be that he accepts both of these assumptions. Right? He only really needs to accept this one. Right? Namely, the Shemitah Tzavim is not Doraita. But he probably accepts this one also because that's how he gets to this point. Right? The Shemitah Tzavim depends on Shemitah Karka, and then for some reason Shemitah Karka doesn't apply. Yes?
Yes?
Yes? Right? He doesn't theoretically could have some other explanation. Right? This is the one he needs, which is that Prusba only works with Shemitah's Doraita. Presumably he holds the reason Shemitah Tzavim is not Doraita, which means that Karka is not Doraita, though theoretically he could come up with something else. He could, but there's no reason to assume he does. He probably holds the both of these. Okay?
Are there any weird opinions?
Let's start with this. Probably not. Okay? So then the Gemara says, wait a second. Rav Amar Hefker Beit Din Hefker. The Amar of Yitzchak, Minayin Shefker Beit Din Hefker, Shneimar, V'chol Asher Lo Yavo, L'Shlosh Damim, Ba'asad Asarim Askinim, Yecharam Kol Rechusho, Hui Badel Mikal Agola. He says it's a different mechanism, which is Hefker Beit Din Hefker. What's Hefker Beit Din Hefker?
Hefker is not
what Hefker. Ownerless. That which the rabbis declare ownerless is ownerless. First source the Gemara says is from where? Kol Asher Yavo Lo Yavo L'Shoshin Amin Ba'asad Asrim Askenim Yacharam Kol Rechusho V'Yibadel Mitoch Mikaal Agola. Let's see if you how good your Tanakh is, right? Anyone who doesn't come within 3 days, his property will be taken away. Yacharam Kol Rechusho, and he will be separated from those in the Galut. Mikaal Agola. What day for Tanakh is this from?
Ezra.
Very good. It's from Ezra. Right? It's from Nehemiah Tzafana. Nehemiah said, show up or you lose all your money. Okay? From here we learn that the rabbis have the right to take away your money. Second position, Rabbi Lazar Omer Mehacha, Well, that's right. Another possibility. Elah nachalot asher nachalu elazar kohen Yeshua binum rashei avot. These are the inheritance that Elazar, the Kohen Yeshua ben Nun, gave. Just wait, so just get this thought out. And the Gemara says, continues, Ma'inin Rashim Eitzel Avot, what is the connection? And it goes on to tell you that the heads of the Beit Din have the right to bequeath property. Right? The Rashba here and the Amtel Shlomo say that this may be the source, the two sources may explain a machloket of whether Hester Bez and Hester only works to take away money, or even to give money. Right? So Rabbah says that no, the reason that the rabbis have the right to, well, let's see what Rabbah says. Come back quickly. Because it's complicated, as you know. Okay. Fine. So what does Rabbah say? Rabbah says no. The reason, now, what is Rabbah answering? Rabbah says Hefker, Bacon, Hefker. What question is he answering?
Can they do this properly after?
No, that's not the question that he's answering. Ellie, what's the question that he's coming to answer? Remember, it's in the middle of the Shemitah Sukkah. What question?
How they can make it that I can see here on it.
Okay, so Mordechai says the question they're coming to ask is, if Shemitah Karka is not the Oraita, why is Mordechai allowed to keep my money? Right? Answer, the rabbis have control over money, right? According to the way Mordechai just read it, what's Rabbah's assumption? Does Rabbah argue with anything here? No, right? For the only word, Shemitah is linked to Shemitah Karka, right? And the question he's coming to answer is, if Shemitah doesn't apply, why is Mordechai allowed to keep my money? Answer, Bezin is the right to take away people's money, and that's why they're allowed to take the money away from me and let Mordechai keep it. Right?
So,
but that's one way of reading Rabbah. But, so, right. So it could just be... Right, exactly. So one way of reading this sugya is that he's just giving an alternative to Abaye, which is... Right? Everything is true here. The question that this is coming to answer is, why... And Mordechai
still keep the money.
Right, keep my money. Right, my money. Yeah. Right. Abaye says I care about him and I care about. Right. Right. So right. So this is a big question. You've got one: is what's the connection between these two principles? Right. So Rava. So Abaye says I care about him and I care
about. The fact that he doesn't say it was meaning that.
And Rava holds. Right, at the rabbi calls, are you asking what has there? Now, according to this, Rava and Abaye agree that Shmuel works because Shmita Ksavim is not the right, Shmita Ksavim is not the right, because Shmita Ksavim is not the right, and we still have to ask these questions, right?
Yeah.
There's a problem, right? Because there's another way of reading Gemara. And that is... Right? Well, what else might Rava be saying? Rava might be saying something very different. What might Rava be saying? Not land. Money. Hefker Bezin. He might be answering not this question, but this question. Meaning, why does Prozbul work? Doesn't it go against the Torah? Abaye's answer?
Because
not Daraita. He might be saying, no, you misunderstand the whole sugya. Why does Prozbul work even if Shemitah is?
Doraita.
Why?
Because
the rabbis have control over money.
And the reason was because of what Hillel saw.
Right, and that's it. Meaning, Prozbul works. Right, he might be going back to the beginning of the sugya and saying, how can Prozbul work? Doesn't it go against the Torah? Answer, but it's a monetary law. And the rabbis are allowed to uproot monetary law. Which means that if that theory is so good, then what does Rava hold? Well, it's not clear. What does he hold?
Shemitah, Tzavim.
What?
It's not learned from
Right. Shmita stuff in what? What about it right here? Might still be Bar Torah. Might.
Right, not necessarily is, but might be, meaning, right, you could read the sugya as not, right, it's saying, the Gemara started by assuming how could the rabbis use a prusbel to override the obligation of me to let Mordechai keep my money? Rava says, well, no, even if Shemitah is Daraisa, they're allowed to do that because the rabbis are allowed to, Hefter, Beth, and Hefter, allowed to take away money.
Well, think about where
right?
In the order of the Gemara, though, it makes much more sense if you're arguing against the second.
So it could be, but it could, right? This is the machlokas we've shown. But again, what's Yosei? According to the first way we read it, what's the assumption of everybody in the Gemara? The Shemitah Ksafim, at least nowadays, is not Daraisa, and therefore, for some reason, that derived from Shemitah Karka, right? And then we just need to answer why it is that they're allowed to do this, right? Second possibility would be that, no, Rava is answering how Prusbel works even during a time of Shemitah Daraisa. And if that's the case, then what? Right? Now we have a potential name of someone who holds the Shemitah is not Torah, but not necessarily.
It could be, might be, right?
That's the interesting thing about this read of Rava. It's not that it is Minat Torah, it's that even if it were Minat Torah, Prusbel would work, right?
Okay. I don't think that makes sense the way it's ordered in the Gemara. Like, why wouldn't it be Rava first?
Now, Sokobi says, why would anyone say this?
Why would anyone say this?
Good. So here's where you need a little history. Why would anyone say this? When does Hillel live?
Like, before the early times. Like, before
what?
Before the Gemara's
destroyed. When the Beit HaMikdash stood, which means that there's good reason to believe, and this is a separate machloket. Because right, there's a separate machloket, which we'll see tomorrow, even if nowadays Shemitah Zerabbanan wasn't Zerabbanan in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Many people assume that in time of Bayit Sheni, what was it? All right, it's Machloket. We'll see tomorrow. Right? Oh. But some people say, well, when did Hill make Prusbel? If you think that Hill lived in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Shemitah was Daraita, and Hillel made the Prusbel then you have no choice but to say that Prusbel works even when it's Minat Torah. And once you say Prusbel works even Minat Torah, then you're open to the possibility that Shemitah nowadays is also Minat Torah. Right? You don't have to go this direction. You don't have to. You could. Again, could. You don't have to. Right, you could say that it works even with Daraisa, and the time of Hillel was Daraisa, now it's not. Right?
You did the same thing to Rabbi, and that's how you come up with
it. Right, so, good. So now we have two questions in this sugya, right? We have two major questions in our sugya, right? Which is, right, for our question, remember, our whole question here is, Yishmita Daraisa nowadays. So what are we left with?
It didn't give any indication of...
So now what do we have? Right? Why would you say this? Right? So you have to answer one thing, right? Which is, okay, Prusbel, let's do this again. Prusbel only
One is Dirabanan, right? Which is Abaye, right? And therefore, which means Shemitah Safin. Safin is Dirabanan, right? Either because no Kiddushah Haaretz, right? Or a local shur from Shemitah,
right?
Or even the Araita, right? Perhaps. Right? Perhaps. Even the Araita, right? Which would mean that Shemitah is, right? Maybe the Araita is not that, right? Rashi assumes that Abaye holds this. This is Rashi.
Good. Within Abaye, what does he think about Rava? So look, what does he think about Rava? Look at Rava. Rava, look at Rava. Look at him. Look at him. Rava Amar. La'olam Dein Rabbanan the Pligi Alei Derevi Amri Shmikah La'shmat Et Malva Bizman Azeh.
All right.
Because
Kishas
already
was Rashi, right? Now why does Rashi do it? Because he thinks that Machloket is about Kedushat HaAretz. He thinks that this Shita is going according to the Shita that, right, there's still Kedushat HaAretz, right?
Rashi the Shita though takes the expansive read and says that this is the Machloket. Right? That Machloket is, everyone agrees according to Rashi to this assumption. It's Shemitah Safin depends on Shemitah Karka. And everyone agrees that Shemitah Karka, according to him, hangs on whether there is Kedushat HaAretz. What's the only Machloket? Do you paskin that there is Kedushat HaAretz? According to him, Abaye paskin.
Yeah, no.
There's no Kedushat HaAretz, and therefore no Kedushat Shvi'it, the Doraita. And Rava holds, right? V'takein el lojem bein lo Rabbi Damar lach da right. If I'm a rabban, the shabbat lo tikshi davar to be davar shiva mamon. In kind of care davar v'nata rab. Makom shag. Efer kabez mezgen. Have a hefker. Right. So according to Rashi, our sugya is a machloket. In the end of the day, the way he reads the sugya is that Abaye thinks prusul only works when they're rabbanan, and therefore he must hold the shmita of his mana says they're rabbanan because he thinks that the question is based on the universal question whether it's kedusha or right. And Rava holds that Prozbul even works when it's Doraita. He takes out the perhaps. He says, even though it is Doraita, and he, because he thinks it's all that bizarre, he says,
why should he be forced to according to Rava that Doraita?
He's not, but he chooses to. He's not forced to, he chooses to. Right? He chooses to. Right? Rashi says, Rava is saying that Prozbul works. Because even though Shemitah nowadays is Doraita, why does he think Doraita? Because according to him, the reason to think Shemitah is not Doraita is because there's no Kedushat HaAretz. And therefore, according to Rashi, the reason to think Shemitah does apply is if you think there is Kedushat HaAretz. Right? And according to Rashi, this is the machloket between Abaye and Rava. Right? Is Shemitah nowadays biblical, which itself hangs on the question of whether there's Kedushat HaAretz or not. Rabbi says no. Rabbi says yes. Well, that's what makes the sugya even more complicated, right? Okay. However, how could you not get to this place? How many paths do we have to not getting here?
A lot.
How could you not get here?
By not saying that Shemitah is Karka.
Right? So you could reject this. Right? You could reject right? You could reject the link of Shemitah and Shemitah Karka. What else might you do?
You don't want to cross me.
What? Well, what else? Right? Meaning, you could. Very good. You can. Right? You could say, first of all, you could not delete the word perhaps.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, you could say, you're right. All Rava is saying is that Shemitah Safin, that Prozbul could work, even if it was all right, but not necessarily that it is.
Yeah.
Right? And even if you think there's a machloket about Shemitah, you don't have to say it's totally on Yisraret, right? There are many different paths that you could take here, right? Right, there are many paths you could take. So if you look at Tosafot, for example, look at Tosafot here. Tosafot says, "Bizvan shatam mishame, perish bekuntre, dashmatat karka lo nahak av bevayit sheni." According to Rashi, there was no kedushat ha'aret, even when the Beit HaMikdash was standing. Right? Right, because that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that what? When Hillel, according to Abaye, when Hillel made Prozbo, I mean, when the Beit HaMikdash stood, there was no Shemitah. And according to Rashi, whether or not there's Shemitah Karka depends on whether there's Zusharet. So according to Rashi, according to Abaye, when Hillel was alive, Prozbo worked because Shemitah was Darabanan. That means that there was no Kedusharet even when the Beit HaMikdash stood. Right? That's what did Joe say from Rashi and Ellison?
Well, that's the machloket you mentioned. That.
Yes, I did. This is the machloket I mentioned. Right? Yes. Yes, I know. This is the machloket. So Tosafot says, I'm just going to sit down again. Right? But Tosafot says, right, that's what Joe say according to Rashi. And what does he say? That there wasn't Kedush Haaretz, even according to Abaye, even in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. The second Beit HaMikdash. Right?
What is that?
Right? Now, Tosafot doesn't like this. Now, first of all, Tosafot denies that Rashi thinks this is about Kedusha Aretz fully. He thinks it's more about Yovel, right? Based on Sugya and Erechen, right? But he also doesn't like this whole analysis. So what does he say? I just want to give you his answer. So he says, right, so Tosafot comes up with a wild fish, and Tosafot says, no. Can't be. Can't be anyone ever held this. What is he going to have to hold? So look at the end of Tosafot. He says, no. The Omer of Inu Tam Zabayt Shani Nog Yovel. Clearly in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a Yovel. Okay? So now look at the last line, Lamad Avav Amad Bet. Second to last line. V'lo Tikin El Prozbo L'Doro. He says something wild, which makes absolutely no sense, which is?
Meaning,
correct. Meaning what? You're right. When Hillel was alive, Prozbo actually didn't exist. Hillel said, when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and then Shemitah doesn't apply.
He was really planning for failure.
Then, exactly. Then Prozbo will work. Right?
Yeah, I was thinking that. He didn't make
that. Right? So why did Tosafot say this crazy svara? Because what does he think? He thinks that
there was no
Kedusha Ta'aretz. Right, because Rashi means that he's really about Kedusha Ta'aretz. And he's saying, well, if Prozbul, according to Abaye, worked in the time of Hillel, according to Abaye, that means Kedusha Ta'aretz didn't apply, right? And Tosafot says it can't be. Therefore, at least when there was a Beit HaMikdash, there was Kedusha, right? And therefore, Prozbul didn't work in the time of Hillel. It only works nowadays.
Wait, I don't understand. Didn't it say
in the Gemara
that Hillel thought people
weren't
amongst each other?
Yep. And
so
Tosafot says that means...
In the future he
planned? Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly what Tosafot just said.
Why would he do it then also? Like, you feel that question.
Yes, that is what Tosafot says. I know it's crazy. I understand it's crazy. I got it. I understand it's crazy. I'm not... What? Within Abaye.
Yeah.
This is only within Abaye. According to Rava, no. Right, according to Rava, you don't have to say this, but according to Abaye, you have to say this, right? Whew. Right? This is all Rashi, and then tells its correction. However, right, what's the neater way of solving this problem?
I
think we've said
before.
Right? So, one of them is to say that this is the wrong...
Jesus.
That this is the wrong... This is the other reason, right? That this is not the question as to whether Shemitah applies. What is the real question?
The local.
The local halacha, right? That, no, there is Kedusha Haaretz, right? And even though there's Kedusha Haaretz, Shemitah might not apply, right? Why would that be true? So let me just introduce you to this tomorrow, but we're going to see it again tomorrow. Again, what we're going to do tomorrow is this, okay? I know it's going to be a little bit confusing, but basically, right, in our shir, we're focusing on the Shemitah side of it, okay? What we're going to do tomorrow is, right, we've taken as an assumption, right, that according to most poskim, according to most Rishonim, Kedusha Rishona batel, Kedusha Shniya is not batel, and several of you asked me, why not? Right, what's the Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shniya, right? Why is it that the first Kedusha is batel and the second one isn't? So what I want to do in Shir Kali is answer that question, right? It's sort of that bracketed question. We'll do it in Shir Kali, and then in our Shir we'll come back to the Daraisa Darabanan question. Okay? But if we want to reject this part of it, at least, right, then the issue at hand is Kedusha Aretz, then what we're looking for is a local explanation of why. Of why Shemitah is only Darabanan. What is that called? So that sugya we're going to see tomorrow in two places. It appears once in a Bavli in Erechen, right? The sugya over here in Erechen, that's what I'm gonna bet. Okay? And in the Yerushalmi, I gave it to you on the Makarot sheet for tomorrow, right, for tomorrow, but so you have it here. I'll tell you where it comes out on the Oz Bahadur if you want to look at it in your Shalmi. It's Perek Vav of the Yerushalmi. One second. Here, okay, it is in the Oz Vahadar. Membet Amudbet. Okay, it's Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Okay, so from here. Here, from the Atta, see it? So this is Men Bet Amud Bet 1, okay, in your article, right? From the middle of the page, the Atta, right? You want me to put that in?
Sure.
Right? And so what we're gonna do this Gemara tomorrow is where you would get to a different conclusion, not this local, not the universal discussion. Right? And again, just to remind you, according to the universal one, it seems like Rashi actually passes this way. Right? Right? But as we're going to see, on this question of Kedusha Aretz, Rov Rishonim disagree.
I don't think it might be that.
Right? And they pass in. There is Kedusha Aretz. And nevertheless, the majority of you in Rishonim is that Ishmita Bizmana Zedaraita. No, majority of you is that Shemitah B'Zmana says not Daraita. Right? Correct. Because most people disagree with Rashi and say that it's not a universal rule. The issue here is not the universal principle of Kedusha Aretz. It's a local halacha in Shemitah. Okay? So we're going to have 2 days of Shir Kali coming back to this question, focusing on the question of Kedusha Aretz. Right? That's going to be Wednesday, Thursday. And then next week when we're back, on Sunday, the Shmuel David is giving Shir Kali. So whenever we get back to us, right, we're going to come back to the local question, which is, why if Kedusha Aretz does apply, right, which again is what we're going to deal with tomorrow, which is tomorrow and Thursday we're going to deal with the Shittah Rambam. And the majority of you, the Kedusha Aretz does apply. The question is, why is it, despite the fact that Kedusha Aretz applies according to most Rishonim, why is it that Shemitah B'Zmanah Zeh, according to Rav Rishonim, is not the Oraita? Okay? Yes?
Okay.
That's our goal.
Okay.
Fine? And like I said, the only benefit to really making sure that you look at the Yerushalmi is to realize that we're not, right, we actually are covering a lot of ground here in Yerushalmi, meaning we've, this whole sugya, between this daf that we read on, in the 10th parak and the daf in the 6th parak, right, we're doing like two, like over a block of Yerushalmi. This is a lot of material. It's also one of the most fundamental questions in Shemitah. Okay, yeah, we're okay. Another question? It doesn't have to be pressing.